Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. Again, my name is Jeffrey Davis. I'm the host of Radio Entrepreneurs and also CEO, founder of Mage LLC. A couple of thank yous right up front. Thank you to Mark Z Legal Staffing, one of the sponsors of this show. And also my co-host, Mark Furman from Tarlow Breed Hart & Rogers, TBHR. Welcome, Mark.
Jeffrey, it's great to be with you, and I am so excited to hear from our next guest.
Yes, that's Jennifer Taddeo, estate planning attorney at Con Cavanaugh.
Indeed.
Good. Well, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to talk with you both today.
Well, Jennifer, tell us about your practice.
As you said, I am an estate planning attorney. I work really to bring death and taxes to life. I work with families of all types, a lot of business owners who are concerned with making sure that what they've built up is passed on to their family in the right way and while paying the government the least amount of taxes possible.
What are our audience are business owners to a great extent.
And so a lot of family business owners.
Why Absolutely. Is it important for business owners to attend to their estate planning needs rather than just keep kicking the can down the road?
Well, I think that they have the same concerns anyone has. They want to make sure that the right people are in charge, that their estate tax liability is minimized, and deferred to the extent that it can be. They want to make sure that there isn't going to be any fighting. When we're talking, though, about business owners, you really need to be looking at how is it set up? If you have two children, one of them is involved in the business, fairness or equal would be give each child 50% of the estate. That's not going to feel very fair to the child that's been helping to run the business, and that might see the long view of let's reinvest in the business. And if you give each child 50% without thinking more about it, you're creating a situation where that sibling relationship is going to be destroyed and the business might really suffer as well. Instead, we can be creative and think about what else we can give to that non-involved child so that they don't have to delay their inheritance in order to provide for the long-term benefit of the business. It's just thinking through those aspects, even helping the business owner to evaluate their business succession plan. When we have a business owner that does have one, which is not always the case, oftentimes we find that it's one that's 5, 10, or even more years out of date and doesn't really bear any relationship to the current business structure.
You know, I do a lot of family business work myself, and you know, I find that once you get your heart involved, it makes it, and you're making decisions based on your heart, and you're not looking at skill or effort. Mm-hmm. It's a bad cocktail. Those three things together.
Mm-hmm.
How do you work with people to unravel some of that stuff? Because there's so mm-hmm. much guilt and emotion
yes.
involved, and there's even familiar relation, let's say spousal relationships mm-hmm. that don't see the children at work. So it's complicated.
It is absolutely complicated. I like to tell people that in estate planning, we really bring the counselor to counselor at law. We are dealing with those emotions, and I think that to try to ignore that, you're really doing your clients a disservice. What I get to do with my families every day is evaluate what are their goals, what are their hopes, what's keeping them up at night. And so I put those feelings and emotions front and center. Let's get them on the table. Let's acknowledge them. And then let's step back and use those skills and the tools that we have to address them. And I can use my experience. I've been doing this for almost 20 years now. It allows me to say to clients, well, you didn't raise this particular concern, and I can see this playing out in your family. How do we want to address this? Here are a few different ways that different families have addressed it, or we can brainstorm and come up with something together. So I think to discount those emotions is really not serving the client as well. But like in litigation, you have to help them manage and channel them.
Right. Sometimes I think parents don't want to make the decision, and that too can be an issue. Can we discuss that as well?
Absolutely. I would say that one of the biggest reasons people don't do their estate planning in general is because they don't want to make a decision, particularly people who have minor children. I talk with so many people who say, well, I know it's so important that I do this planning to name a guardian for my child, but I can't even begin to grapple with the idea of somebody other than me raising that child, so I'm just going to put it off. And what I try to do with my families is, first of all, lay out a really clear process. Right when they reach out to me, I tell them how it's going to go. And most of my core estate planning engagements, they go from hiring me to executing their documents in 1 month. So it's something that is manageable, that I can show them the roadmap. So that demystifies it a little bit. I work with them on a flat fee basis for that core plan, that's specific to what we're doing together. So again, I'm demystifying it. And then I'm helping them to reframe some of the questions. So when clients come in to talk with me initially, we spend about 2 hours walking through the basics of estate planning. You know, how do assets pass from one person to another? What is probate? How does it work? How does it not work? How do we stay out of it if that's what we want? What are the basic estate planning documents that anybody in Massachusetts should at least understand? And through that, we can talk through, okay, well, we need to name a guardian. Don't think who would be just as good as you are, because the answer for most parents is no one. I was put on this earth to raise this child. I say that to myself all the time about my 15-year-old. But who in your family is that person who would absolutely step forward and raise their hand if something happened to you to take those children, but you know would be the most wrong person? Who is that? Right, with them in mind,
and people
who's
change
better?
Over time, too.
Absolutely.
And what a person is at 50, we'll say, is not necessarily who they are at 70.
Absolutely. I tell people, particularly with my business owners, I say, you wouldn't create a business plan and then freeze that and execute that for the rest of the life of your business. If you did, you wouldn't be very successful. So for business owners, the most important thing is to pull together that team on the personal side who is going to help them create and implement an estate plan that's really appropriate for their circumstances, but then that's going to help them adjust it over time to reflect those changing circumstances in their assets, in the family members, in the children. You know, what you want for a 2-year-old is very different from what you might want for an 18-year-old. And it should reflect that, just like at different stages of the business.
So it's
life.
A living process, you're saying?
Absolutely.
It's not a static process.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We always are revisiting what is happening in terms of the law. We run a blog at the firm called Life Goes On, and we are keeping in mind what is being passed, what court cases have come down, but even just what issues are we seeing? And it's not scholarly. It's not intended to show everyone how smart we are, but it's intended to help clients recognize themselves in the short blog posts we're writing so that they can say, oh, that is something I should be talking with Jen about.
So this is really, from my perspective, I see only problems. I don't see the 90-something percent of estate plans that work very smoothly. So, I would say many of the problems I see are a result of not having a specialist like yourself be the one who helps the client figure out the estate plan and drafts it. And there are some folks who are drafting estate plans who shouldn't be. And they, we were talking before we went on air about a case I have now where documents were drafted by a non-specialist, and now there's a tremendous and very expensive problem to try to figure out whether it meets the requirements for assets in a trust to pass, who it passes to.
Mm-hmm.
I've had cases where lawyers who shouldn't be drafting estate plans, prepare documents that don't qualify for the marital deduction. As a result, if there's a husband and wife, there's an enormous estate tax that's due on the first death, when I think fairly basic estate planning can defer that until the death of the surviving spouse. So I'd urge folks to hire someone like Jen to make sure they have sophisticated expertise in this area. The second type of problem that I see are late stage dramatic changes to estate plans where somebody just makes a dramatic change, typically using someone other than their longtime estate planning attorney when they're in very diminished capacity. And all of a sudden, the folks who are the natural objects of that you would think would want to leave their wealth to are cut out or greatly reduced. That's a harder problem to prevent, as you know, we all, if we live long enough, are going to be diminished to some extent. Is there, in your experience, what, if anything, can be done to kind of minimize those situations? I mean, I've had cases where the caregiver ends up with a 100% of someone's assets while the entire family is disinherited, and forces, you know, very protracted and expensive litigation to try to solve the problem.
Oh, absolutely. We see that a lot. And I think estate planning attorneys have a higher obligation when they're talking with either an existing client or, as you say, somebody who's just been brought to you, you've never worked with them, to really ask those questions and make sure the person has the ability to make a change. I think for families, it is important to engage really qualified caregivers. I think a lot of times it's helpful for, you know, our business owner families or our families where there are two working spouses and they're trying to care for mom or dad to pull in a care management company. When you have that level of professionalism, there's a little bit more protection there. The employees of that care management company are going to be more restricted in being able to receive any of those bequests that might end up happening when there is an uneducated or unethical attorney involved.
I could talk to you for hours more, but I can't because we've reached our time limit, Jennifer. If someone's looking for you and to get your advice on family law, estate planning, how would they find you?
The best way to reach me would be by email. My email address is jtaddeo, and that is J, T as in Thomas, A as in Apple, D as in David, E-O, at concavanaugh.com, and that is con, C-O-N-N, Kavanaugh, spelled K-A-V-A-U-N. Now, I'm not going to be able to spell it out.
K-A-V-A-N-A-U-G-H. I can read it, so it's easier.
Thank you. And through our website, concavanaugh.com, or you can find me on LinkedIn.
Oh, that's wonderful. And will you come back again and talk about some cases?
I would love to do that.
Great. We love the cases, the family law. It's great. And it's great coming up here to Tarla Breed Hart and Rogers, even
Absolutely.
Though you made it to the wrong tower as a start.
I eventually made it here, and it was worth the trip.
Okay.
Yes. And you want to do a little detour through Italy if you're coming
to
Tarla Breed.
I'm going to have to schedule a later visit next time
right.
so I can get lunch there.
Right. Well, my name is Jeffrey Davis. This is Radio Entrepreneurs. Thank you again, Mark Furman, and the law firm of Tarla Breed Hart and Rogers, who's always sponsoring these litigation shows for Radio Entrepreneurs. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. As soon as you can imagine.